All right, let's pray together and then proceed forward. Father, we are thankful for your love for us and thank you for your tender affection towards us. And even as we open our scriptures today, we pray that your spirit will help us to see the significance of your truth in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our text today is Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. And the subject is about honoring one's father and mother, with a slightly greater emphasis on the mother, since it happens to be Mother's Day. Ephesians 6, page 1820, if you're working with me in the church Bible here. In this particular section of Ephesians, starting from verse 21 on of chapter 5 and all the way to chapter 6 and verse 9, Paul talks about how the gospel transforms Christians in the various spheres they live in, as wives, how it transforms, as husbands, how it transforms, as children, as parents, as household slaves, and owners of slaves, what some call as the household code of behavior. But we living 2,000 years don't live under those exact specific conditions, but we're still called to obey the principles found in these sections. And for today, we're going to look at verses 1 through 3 with regards to the responsibilities of Christians toward their parents. I'm going to read the entire passage and then we'll look at the individual verses a little more closely. Ephesians 6, verse 1, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth." Notice first of all how Paul starts out. Verse 1, he says children. The word primarily denotes relationship rather than age. Sometimes it could refer even to adult sons and daughters, but in the context here, it has the idea of children who are still living at home, still being brought up by their parents. They're still in the process of learning and growing up. And notice what is the command given to these are Christian children. The command given to them is to obey your parents. Obey your parents. It's a very strong word. It's much more stronger than verse 21, the word submit. And verse 22 again, when he calls for submission for wives, it's much more stronger, because submission is a more voluntary concept here. This is clear obedience. There's no questions to be asked, obviously, unless obedience leads to sinning against God's clear commands. This is a call for children to submit to their parents. Has the idea of total obedience. In a parallel passage, you don't need to turn to it right now, but in Colossians chapter 3, verse 20, Paul talks about children, obey your parents in everything. That implies, you know, the call for a total obedience. And by the way, that word obey is in the present tense. Keep on obeying. Meaning not when you just feel like obeying, but at all times. Whether you agree with what the parents tell you or disagree, the call is to obey. Except, obviously, the overriding exception is when it contradicts or conflicts with God's clear commands. And notice again, it says obey your parents, which means you're called to obey both father and mother. Sometimes children tend to obey the father more than the mother. Try to get away with the mothers. But in some cases, it's the other way around. They tend to listen more to the mothers and just reject the fathers. Typically in homes where there's conflict and the wife tends to put down the husband, those type of cases, the children tend to favor that way. Majority of the cases, the other way also works. But the text is clear, obey your parents. Then he says, in the Lord. Could also be translated as you would obey the Lord. So the way you would obey the Lord, same way, obey your parents. Obedience to parents is an integral part of the Christian life. That the very fact that Paul calls children to obey the parents assumes the fact that the parents would call the children to obedience. right? That's what a Christian parent ought to do as well. Call children to obedience. And many don't do that, unfortunately. Many parents fail in their responsibilities in calling children to a lifestyle of obedience. And I think mothers play a greater role than fathers, because typically mothers tend to spend more time with the children than the fathers. They have a greater influence. Both have equal responsibilities, but mothers tend to have a greater influence because of the greater amount of time they spend with the children. So mothers, be firm in your call for children to obey your commands, which should be in line with the scripture anyway. That's the command: children, obey your parents in the Lord. Why should we? What's the motivation? The end of verse 1 tells us, starts out with the word for. Why should children obey their parents as they would obey the Lord? Because this is right. This is right. What does he mean? Right in whose eyes? It's right primarily in God's eyes. Children ought to obey their parents because this is right in God's eyes. That word right comes from the family of words that you get righteous, righteousness, and so forth. In the New Testament, it's used to refer to God's proper standards and his actions. But when it describes the actions of humans, here in context, children, it has the idea of referring to a person who is right in God's sight because they keep God's commands. It's what a righteous person would do, doing what God commands them to do. In this case, obey your parents. And God approves of such kind of a person. Colossians 3 verse 20 says, this is well-pleasing in God's sight. So when children obey their parents, it pleases God. It's right in his sight. That's the motivation. That's the motivation. So the main goal for obeying parents is not so that the parents will be pleased, which for sure they will be. It's not because others would say it's a good thing to do, which they will. But the main motivation is this is done to please Jesus Christ. At the end of the day, that should be the main motive for us to obey all of God's commands. This is right in God's sight. That's the greatest motivation that should drive us to obey him in everything. Let me also quickly add, as a secondary thing, it does bring forth approval from others too. When a society sees children submitting to the parents, it shows the transforming work of the gospel. Paul is assuming here, this is a family where father, mother, children, they're all believers. He's assuming, and that's not the case, we understand, in every situation. But when a young person obeys the parents, it shows the gospel transforms people even at that young age. So it's a great testimony of what the Holy Spirit can do in the life of someone who belongs to Christ. Paul goes on to quote now from the Old Testament to further support the need for children to obey their parents. Notice what he says in verses 2 and 3. Honor your father and mother. He makes it clear that both you need to honor, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. He quotes the fifth commandment. Some say it's from, if you see the NIV footnote, it has Deuteronomy 5:16. Some commentators think it's the Greek version of Exodus 20 verse 12. But we're going to look at Deuteronomy in a minute. So Paul is quoting from the fifth commandment as found in the Ten Commandments. And we need to remember one thing when we're looking at this. Because Paul is going to the Old Testament and pulling it from there, we need to understand, to whom was the Ten Commandments first given? It's primarily given to the Jews, but it's not just to young people. It was given to adults. So the text we should understand, now from obedience, Paul moves to honoring. Not much of a difference, but the idea is, when he's pulling in the Ten Commandments, this makes it important that even adults come under this command. It's not just, when you look at this text this passage. Don't look at, you know, your young children and think, I'm glad they're sitting here, or too bad they're in Sunday school, or they're not here today, or whatever. It applies to even adults who have living parents. Because the Ten Commandments were given to adults. How do we know that? Because it's one of the commandments where do not commit adultery. Children cannot, right? Young children. So, with that mindset, turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 5. We're going to be looking at a couple of things contrasting. So keep your finger in Ephesians. Don't lose your place there. But go back to the fifth book of the Bible, Deuteronomy chapter 5. It is page 282 in the Church Bible. Look at Deuteronomy 5:16. Notice what Moses records for us as the people were getting ready to enter the promised land. Honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live long and that it may go well with you in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Now, the fifth commandment is the only one among the six commandments given that pertains to our horizontal relationships where it's given in the positive. Everything else, if you see from here on, it's negatives. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not covet. Not. Don't do. The only command, the do, is this in the positive given when it comes to our relationship with parents. The first four commandments, as you know, ties in with our responsibility with God. There's only one God, verses 6 and 7. And second, don't bow down to any other gods. That's verses 8 through 10. Commandment number 3, don't misuse the name of the Lord. That's verse 11. And verse 12, observe the Sabbath day. That's vertical. But then notice in each of those, look at verse 6. It says, I am the Lord your God. Verse 8, as you come down in verse 9, really in the middle of verse 9, for I, the Lord your God. Verse 11, again, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Verse 12, end of verse 12, again, the Lord your God. And then come to verse 16. Honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded. In none of the other commandments, this phrase, the Lord your God, appears. So what's the significance? I believe this is the significance. Just as God, who is the source of life, deserves our honor, parents who are the means or the instruments through which God gives us that life must be honored as well. The first four, Lord your God, Lord your God, Lord your God, you honor him. Parents are the means through which I'm giving you life, honor them as well. Honor them as well. That's, I believe, the idea behind that. We are to honor the source and we are to honor the means as well. That the word honor can also be translated and is translated often as glory. Because the noun form of this verb honor is the word glory, which basically means to be heavy or weighty. In other words, give the glory or honor that you give to God to your parents as well. Of course, we do understand there's an essential difference between God and humans. But the point is this, God expects us to honor our parents. In Leviticus 19:3, you don't need to turn to it. The NIV reads, each of you must respect your father and mother. Sometimes that word respect also is translated as reverence in other translations. That's kind of the idea. It's kind of the idea. Honor, revere, fear. There's a word fear attached to this reverence and awe. According to the Old Testament, obeying one's parents means honoring them, and disobeying one's parents means dishonoring them. Now, even though Paul quotes from the Old Testament, Paul makes two changes. That's why I want you to keep your finger in both the texts. Look at Deuteronomy 5:16. Number one change. Moses says that you may live long and it may go well with you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. But when Paul says in Ephesians 6, he just says that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Because we're not in that setting. We're not in one specific area. Wherever God calls you to live, this command is binding on you. That's what Paul is saying. You could be in any parts of the world. The command is binding. And second change that Paul makes is, Paul adds this statement, which is the first commandment with a promise. Moses doesn't say that. So in what sense is this the first commandment with a promise? Some say, well, this is a bit confusing, because if you look at the second commandment, it talks about if you bow down to any image or so, that God says, I'm a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents and showing love to 1,000 generations and so forth. That seems to be like a promise. But like one of the popular commentators of Ephesians, Peter O'Brien, he says, and I'm going to quote him so you can get the idea. He says, this is a description of Yahweh's character. On the one hand, he's a jealous God who punishes disobedience, and on the other, he shows mercy to thousands of generations. This is not a promise what God's making. This says, God says, this is in keeping with my character. So when Paul says this is the first commandment with a promise, he says, this is what God's saying. If you do this, then that. If you obey your parents, then you will enjoy. Doesn't always mean that long life means everyone who obeys their parents is going to enjoy a long life free of trials. But generally speaking, you will enjoy a good and peaceful life. Not necessarily a life free of trials, but a life that is experiencing the peace that God gives. And we know that's true in many ways. How so? When a child growing up obeys his or her parents, typically the child will make wise choices and stay away from a lifestyle that will prevent them from undergoing unnecessary hardships, and also sometimes prevent them from the possibility of early death because of diseases due to wrong habits, or even dying through violent means when they join gangs and so forth. What happens? Lives are cut short. It's because they deviate, they get away from what is right. So when Paul says this here, it makes a lot of sense. You remember Samson as one of the judges, but he made choices that were contrary to his parents. And what happened? His life was cut short. His life was cut short. So it works out in real life. Again, there are exceptions. Jesus died young. Okay, if there was one who honored his parents, it was Jesus. So I understand there are exceptions. But in a general sense, what Paul is saying is listen, when you honor, when you respect them, this is what's going to happen. But when you don't, there are serious, serious consequences when children disobey their parents. We're going to walk through some texts. And I'm going to have you, if you like, turn to some scriptures. Exodus chapter 21. We're going to just move our way through some texts so you understand the implications of disobedience and contrast the blessings of obedience. And some of you may be young. You may be children, but someday God may call you to be a mother. You want to prepare yourself for that even now. This is what you should be inculcating in your children. And some of you are young mothers. This is what you should be inculcating in your children and teaching them the dangers of disobedience. Exodus chapter 21 and verse 15. Anyone who attacks their father or mother is to be put to death. I understand, I'm going to be quoting some from the Old Testament, and you may say, wait a minute, you've been telling in Romans, we're no longer under the Old Testament law. True, we're no longer under that, but by reading certain texts, we want to understand, even though the Old Testament was not written to us, it's also written for us. We see the character of God revealed through these texts. This is how God feels when children disobey their parents. It says, they must be put to death, verse 15. Look at verse 21. Sorry, verse 17. Anyone who curses their father or mother is to be put to death. You saw in verse 15, anyone who attacks, the footnote says anyone who kills. So physically you assault is to be put to death, but also you curse them. I wish I had another mother. I wish I had another father. That's cursing. That's what the text says. This is God's heart, is to be put to death. And this was given the beginning of the Exodus, just so that you know God didn't change his mind 40 years later. Go to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 21. Deuteronomy 21. We're going to read from verses 18 through 21. Here God is saying, as you enter into the promised land, the way you bring up children and the way the children should respond to parents should be different from the nations around. Deuteronomy 21 and verse 18. If someone has a stubborn and rebellious son who does not obey his father and mother and will not listen to them when they discipline him, his father and mother shall take hold of him and bring him to the elders at the gate of his town. They shall say to the elders, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey us. He is a glutton and a drunkard. Which means this is an older son, not younger, because he's a drunkard there. Keep that in mind. Then all the men of this town are to stone him to death. You must purge the evil from among you. All Israel will hear of it and be afraid. Now before you start crying child abuse, I'm just going to say this is God's word. Okay, I am against abuse. All forms of abuse. But I'm also obligated to proclaim what God's word teaches. What God is saying is this. This is how serious I take rebellion and disobedience. Years later, 500-600 years later, just so that God didn't change his mind again. Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs in chapter 30. Page 1031. Page 1031. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 17. The eye that mocks a father, that scorns an aged mother, will be pecked out by the ravens of the valley, will be eaten by the vultures. Notice the graphic picture of the consequences of dishonoring parents. One does not even get a decent burial, because the carcass is just lying out there. Two animals which are unclean, according to the Old Testament, we saw last week, there's nothing unclean in the New Testament. But these two animals, they just go at it. Go at ravens and vultures. In that culture, not having a decent burial was a sign of shame. So this rebellious child doesn't even get a decent burial. But then notice, I want you to look at how graphic and detailed this is. It says, the eye is symbolic of the heart, you know, pride. That mocks a father, scorns an, it says, aged mother. Now, if you're following an older NIV and the other translations, the word aged would not be there. It just says mother. Why did the new NIV include the word aged? Because in the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Old Testament, that word was used to refer to a woman with white hair, which was symbolic of what? Older mothers, older age. And here, what Solomon is teaching us is, look, even when you smirk at your parents, when you scorn them, you know, make sarcastic comments to your parents. And sometimes it's easy when, typically, you know, people are older. You tend to see them as a burden, tend to see them as a nuisance. Maybe they keep repeating the same things over and over again or whatnot. Right? God says, cannot do that. Cannot. This is how I see when you scorn, look down, mock, make fun of your parents. By the way, it's another proof. Even as we grow older, we're called to honor our parents. Especially when they become older, they need it more. Moving on to the New Testament. Did God change his mind? Now, go to Matthew 15 for a minute. As you go to Matthew 15, I want to remind you, these are the words that come from the lips of our Savior himself. In fact, Jesus quoted the fifth commandment, honor your parents, 5 times in the 4 Gospels. 3 times, it was in his discussion with a rich young ruler, and 2x, in his discussion with the Pharisees who were complaining about not eating food by washing your hands properly. And this is one of those instances, Matthew 15. I'm going to read from verses 3 through 6, all right? Because the question that's posed in verse 2, why your disciples break the tradition of the elders, they don't wash their hands before they eat. Verse 3, Jesus replied, and why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of a tradition? For God said, honor your father and mother, and anyone who curses their father or mother is to be put to death. But you say that if anyone declares that what might have been used to help their father or mother is devoted to God, or Korban in some older translations, they are not to honor their father or mother with it. Thus you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition, you hypocrites. Verse 7, he goes on to say, Isaiah was right when he prophesied with you. All you do is just honor me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. What's the scenario here? The issue basically boiled down to this: failure to support aged parents by grown-up children. You see, Jewish law required sons to take care of their aged parents. It's a Jewish law. But what these corrupt priests were doing was this. Some sons, rebellious, disobedient sons, didn't want to take care of their parents. So they made a provision. You know what? I have this amount of money that I'm going to use to take care of my parents. But if you say that money is dedicated to God and the temple, then the priest can say, hey, you're free from the obligation of honoring your parents because honoring God takes precedence over honoring your parents. And then they could use that money basically for, they don't have to give all the money to the temple right away. They could give a little and they could use that money for themselves. So by the priests allowing that, they broke a greater commandment, which is honor your parents. So what Jesus is saying, you don't talk about keeping the law. You guys are so focused on tradition, but you're actually breaking the law. And why is Jesus quoting the fifth commandment? He could have used something else. But we're quoting the fifth commandment. You know what Jesus is saying? You're obligated to take care of your parents when they are old. That's what the point was. Under the new covenant, you're called to do that. And of course, by Paul saying this in Ephesians 6, he makes it very clear. We are under this command, not because it's part of the Ten Commandments, but it's because it's repeated in the New Testament, and now it makes us binding upon us to honor our parents. Jesus modeled that, did he not? In Luke 2:51, he says he was obedient to his parents as a young 12-year-old. Of course, he was obedient even before that. If not, he would be disqualified to be a perfect substitute. And then, even on the cross, while he's dying, what does he do? Mary is a widow by now, because Joseph is not in the picture. That's why he says, woman, here's your son, looking at Apostle John. John, here's your mother. What was Jesus doing there? Take care of her. She's old. It's no welfare system like what we have today. John, I want you to provide for her. There's other brothers and sisters Jesus had, but he didn't give Mary to them, because Mary is a believer. So he gives her to another believer. Take care of her, would you? From that day, the disciple took her into his home. So John 19:25-27 teaches us. So obedience to parents is important. The same Jesus, while he obeyed his parents, also, when it came to certain things, did not obey them. You don't need to turn to it, but in Mark 3, Jesus is preaching, driving out demons. His mother and brothers, sisters, they all come, say, you know, looks like he's crazy. We need to take him away. What does Jesus say? When someone says, your mother and brothers are out, say, no. Whoever does the will of God is my mother and brother and sister. So when it came to obeying God, he made sure he obeyed God if that meant disobedience to parents. But other than that, he made sure he obeyed and he honored. So we have the example of Jesus doing that. Contemporary ways, when things conflict. For example, you might be called to be a missionary. Parents may call you crazy. What do? Obey God. You're a mother. You just became a mother. You have young children. You want to leave your job. You want to take care of the children. Give priority to the home. But your parents say, don't throw away your career. What do? You obey God. Because God clearly says, where possible. I know some cases where you cannot. Where possible, mothers are to invest in their children. You obey God. baptism. And I deal with this constantly, and I'm sure you do too, especially people coming from other backgrounds. Well, if I get baptized, my parents will not like it. They'll cut off the relationship. I'd rather not lose that relationship. I might reach out, and when they get saved, we'll all get baptized. No, that's not for you to pick and choose. God has said, testify of me in the waters of baptism. What do you do in that case? You obey God. So when there is a higher command of God that you need to comply with, which means disobedience, then you got to disobey. Got to disobey. But usually those are exceptions. Other cases, you obey. You obey. In fact, Scripture reminds us, disobedience to parents is a sign of being an unbeliever. And Paul describes in Romans 1 these characteristics of unbelievers, all these sins. One of the sins he says in verse chapter 1, verse 30 is they're disobedient to parents. And same thing in 2 Timothy 3, when he talks about there will be terrible times in the last days. Men will be lovers of money, lovers of self. And then he says, disobedient to parents. So disobedience is not a sign of a believer, but a sign of an unbeliever. Is that not evident in our present day and age? Not only do children blatantly disobey and dishonor their parents, but they even go to the point of killing them. Yet in the midst of such an atmosphere, God calls Christian children to be different. He calls them to obey their parents in everything. I do understand the reason for lack of obedience in the children is due to the failure of parents. Many parents fail to teach discipline and set a good example to their children. But such situations still don't cancel out the requirement for Christians to obey their parents. So we see both Old and New Testament say or require us to honor our parents and the consequence of dishonoring them. A subject that applies to all Christians of all ages who have living parents. What then are some practical ways we can honor our parents? All right, so that's my... We're going to go into the application, so to speak. Number one, when young, respect and obey your parents in everything. When young, respect and obey your parents in everything. John MacArthur said this, quote, many young people struggle in knowing God's will for their lives. Obeying their parents is a good place to start. End quote. Career choices. This choice, that choice, you know, start with obeying your parents. It's a good place to start. Whether it's convenient or not, as long as it does not lead you to sin. Understand when they tell you things like keep good company, come home at a decent time, study hard, study the Bible regularly, pray constantly, come to church, stay away from sexual sin, stay away from certain kinds of music, don't spend too much time on your gadgets. They're not telling those things to hurt you. They're telling those things to help you. They're not trying to rob you of joy when they tell you to come home at a decent time. If they wanted to rob you of joy, they would not allow you to even go out in the first place, right? Just like Satan tempted Eve by distorting God's motive, God gave Adam and Eve everything except one. What did Satan have Eve focus on? Just that one thing that was the prohibition. Same thing Satan whispers to children today. Look, your mom, your dad is preventing you from having this. That forget all the blessings, all the freedoms that they have. Satan still does the same thing. Don't listen to the voice of the serpent. Listen to the voice of the Savior. Obey your parents. Obey your parents. Number two, when old, when you're older and your parents are older, respect and support your parents. That's the honor being fleshed out in a practical way. Respect and support your parents. Respect and support their needs with regard to physical needs and emotional needs. And even when it comes to your in-laws, treat them as your own parents. Why? Because husband and wife become one flesh, the Bible says. Right? Your people, my people. That's what Ruth said. Your God, my God. And embracing such a concept will actually bring greater happiness. Agreed. Agreed, some parents are just plain hard to get along with. An attitude, if they're unbelievers, makes it even more harder. Now, that does not mean you have to submit to every single request of theirs, but as long as it does not violate Scripture, you can still honor them. Listen, God will always come to the aid of those who desire to obey His word. Don't treat older parents as a burden, as an inconvenience, or even as an embarrassment. Cannot look down at them as a nobody or a nuisance. When will this one hit the grave? God can never be pleased with such an attitude. The same parents who did not consider us as a burden when we were children, when we went through maybe so many illnesses, they stayed up at nights and sacrificed so much, do they not deserve our compassion and our help? Can we consider them as a burden? What a shameful attitude that's so prevalent, even among professing Christian community today. I mean, nursing homes are the proof, right? Yes, sometimes nursing homes are the best choice. I'm not against that per se. But some of us who go to the nursing homes, we know many of them are there not by their own choice. They're hale and healthy. They're just put there because, you know, just there. Many openly cry. They long for company. Now, it's not always giving money to our parents. Sometimes they may be well off, but sometimes at that physical company, that they're spending time with them, just being there. Can we abandon our parents who did not abandon us? And even if they did abandon us, the call is, it's not tit for tat. It's about doing what's right in God's sight. That's the issue. Bible doesn't say, honor only worthy parents. Love your enemies, Bible says. So we're to honor even those parents who may not have lived the way they ought to have lived. What about parents who've acted in an unworthy way? What if they abandoned you when you were young? What if they were abusive, demanding? Maybe they ran away with another woman or man. Tough questions to answer, but yet practical ones to be addressed. You may not like it, but the command to honor still applies. We cannot pick and choose. For example, Bible prohibits abortion. Clearly says you should not murder. Now someone comes up and says, what if the child is born out of rape? Now we would say, even in that case, what? You cannot abort. We cannot just twist the scriptures. I understand situational ethics, but we cannot just mold the scripture to what's convenient for us. So the scripture says, honor your parents. See, honoring parents is not, it's not something the way we would look at things. The way it should be understood is it's a form of a hierarchy. It's not a relationship between equals, like a partnership. I do this as long as you do this. No. Honor goes to the one who's above in position. It's not an issue of performance, but an issue of position. This is how God has designed. Like when we submit to our employers at workplace, we know we are much, a lot of cases we might be much more smarter than our bosses, but there's that hierarchy. Same thing with government. But it's a matter of position. It is wrong on the part of Christian children to be bitter toward their parents. If you're carrying a grudge, we must keep going to God and ask God, keep healing. Sometimes they might keep on hurting us. We got to ask God, keep healing me. Help me to love the unlovable. Because you love the unlovable. You love me despite me hurting you every day. Help me to love. Help me to love. The Lord will deal with those who are sinning. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord, I will repay. Leave them in the Lord's hands in terms of judgment, but you plead for their salvation and plead for their sanctification if they are already saved. God knows your pain. He knows your tears. He is not blind to that fact. Yet, He's put this command, which means He's giving you the power to love. We can love because we've been loved by Jesus. That's the key. Through the Holy Spirit, we have the power. Ron Mell, in his book, The Tender Commandments, says this, quote, a son or daughter who forgives from the heart can be a different kind of parent to his or her own children. See, how you are to your parents affects how you are to your children. That's what he says. Then he goes on to say, that person is an honorable parent, a parent free from bitterness, a parent and a child that the Heavenly Father can bless and use in unimaginable ways. End quote. You have no bitterness towards the one who's higher in position, your father or mother, that has an impact on those in the chain below you, namely your own children. So we honor them and we provide for their needs as long as it is in our power to do so and as long as there is a need. Take care of them as much as possible. And everyone has to work it out depending on their own situation. Every situation varies. So as we grow older, we respect and we honor them. If you are struggling to love your parents, maybe it's because you've not experienced the love of Christ yourself. Just make that as a side note here. I mean, you've never been saved. Maybe today is the day. Put your faith in Christ. He loves the unlovable. Turn from your sin. Turn to Him. Come in faith. And then the Holy Spirit will enable you to even love the unlovable. He will heal your hurts. You can have a new beginning today and a new view towards being a child and being a parent as well. Third and final word of application. This is to parents, to fathers and mothers, mainly mothers, because Mother's Day, I'm going to make this thrust. Don't make it hard for your children to honor you. You know, we're telling children to honor, but we don't want to make it too hard for them to honor us as well. If we obey God's word when it comes to parenting, meaning we love our children, we pray for them, we sacrifice for them, we model a godly life for them, we don't put our careers above them, we say, you are precious to me. When they're young, and we discipline them, then we're doing what is right in God's sight, and God, we leave the consequences in God's hands. God will work in their hearts to honor us if He deems it so. You know, I hear sometimes mothers especially say, I love my children too much to discipline them. I want you to turn with me to the book of Proverbs. We're going to look at two verses and then close. Proverbs, first of all, chapter 13. And this would apply not just to moms, again, both to fathers as well. Proverbs 13, page 1004 in the Church Bible. And verse 24. When people say, I love my children too much to discipline them, they are actually making statements that is exactly the opposite to what the Bible teaches. Notice what verse 24 says. Whoever spares the rod hates their children. But the one who loves their children is careful to discipline them. That word careful has this idea of seeking, it's pursuing. But notice, you love your children, you will discipline them. But you hate your children, you will not discipline them. So if you are thinking, for me to discipline my child means they will somehow think I'm hating them, you're going exactly against God's word. That's what the text says. That's what the text says. You start disciplining at a young age. Parents should not be running behind children trying to control them. Children don't lead parents. Parents should be controlling children from a young age. 1 year, 1.5 years, you start. Start in phases. Not to inflict injury, but pain. Injury is abuse. Pain is discipline. Text says, be that kind of a mother. If you're a disobedient mother, don't expect your children to be obedient to you. You can get all sentimental about the whole thing, but the text is what we are bound by at the end of the day. Don't expect God to bless you if you're walking in rebellion against God. Don't show favoritism among the kids. That's another way you're preventing them to honor you. One kid can get away with anything. The other kid is always nitpicked. Cannot do that. Make it easy for your children to honor you. And when you live a life that pleases God with regards to parenting, one day you will reap the fruits. Oh, even if the children leave you, God will give you that peace. Well done, good and faithful slave. Proverbs 31, We talk about Proverbs 31. We're going to end with this. We talk about Proverbs 31 as this model, mother, wife, etc., etc. But look at how Proverbs 31 ends. And mom, my prayer is, moms, for all of you moms here, present moms, future moms, this is my prayer and my wish. Proverbs 31 says, honor her for all that her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. Context is, let the husband and the children honor this godly wife and godly mother. But in order for that honor, she must be honor worthy. I pray. I plead. I urge that you would also live a life that would be characteristic of one who deserves such honor. If you've failed, you can go to God, have a new beginning. We cannot so much undo everything that we've done in the past that's wrong. Certain things we can, but not everything. But it's okay, even if we have to bear the fruits of those consequences, which is sometimes painful, with God's grace. Today can be a new beginning. Today you can be a new child, adult, honoring your parents, respecting them. Today can be a new parent, new mother. Let's pray together. Father, we are so thankful for the clarity of your word. So clear, leaves no room for doubt. Yet we try to maneuver around scriptures, or we try to question the validity of your text, its implication in our lives. Because at heart, we don't want to do the hard things. It's hard for us to obey our parents when we know that's what your word says. It's hard for us to bring up our children when your word says what's right and what's wrong. Sometimes we fear the loss of love from our children more than the fear of disobeying you. We just got the whole thing so twisted, Lord. We've put the gifts above the giver. Forgive us. Obedience to your commands will at times bring discomfort, whether it's what we need to do to our parents or for our children. Whatever may be the case, this morning here, as a congregation, help us to put these truths into practice. And to, at the end of the day, still remember, even if we have parents, and we all do have parents who have so many failures, they've committed so many sins, and we as parents fail big time too. Help us to remember, we have Jesus. Never failed one single time. What a precious, beautiful, lovely Savior we have, Father. Through Him, you expose your heart to us. Thank you for that. Thank you for giving your Son. Help us to give our sons and daughters to walk in your ways. But that starts with us giving ourselves to you. Help us to be completely devoted, be devoted to you, Lord. You are our treasure. Help us to be good stewards of the treasures you've given to us, including children. Bless the mothers. Heal the hearts that are hurting, even this morning. And those who are not yet mothers, whom you perhaps may call to be mothers, let their hearts be gripped with the conviction. If you, God, ever make me a mother, I want to be right in your sight. I want to do that which pleases you, not that which pleases the society or that which pleases me, but that which pleases you. Please make this happen. For Jesus' glory we pray. Amen.